this is so untraditional for us. Like, it's not like anything we do is ever traditional anyway.
We don't subscribe to that type of stuff.
Yeah. Hey, Ross, Ross, how you feel about it?
We don't deal or put up with accusations, and most definitely not false accusations.
First of all, happy birthday, Broken Pistol Booking Company. Let's start with that. This is birthday number 6 for us.
Is it 6 or 7?
We're starting season 7. This is birthday number 6.
Okay. Gotcha.
WrestleMania week 2018, we kicked this venture off. We still here. Y'all can't get rid of us. Slap your mamas.
I love overboard.
You and I have had disagreements off the air. Nothing has ever.
Yeah,
Nothing ever come to fisticuffs. We always come to a happy agreement here.
We have a gentleman's agreement around here that nothing ever escalates to fisticuffs.
We have disagreements that you hear on the show that are professional differences. It's cool. We're called opinions. That's what we have. We have opinions.
That's just good content. That's just good content.
I have a full-blown migraine right now, Suave, and it's because of a conversation that you just started prior to me hitting record on this show.
It's your own fault.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it? There's only one man to blame, and it ain't me.
I don't blame you ultimately, but that guy, he got some explaining to do.
So, before we get the timer started.
Right.
Here's bonus footage at the beginning of the show. How the hell does this happen? Hold my beer. Oh man. We had a discussion prior to coming on the air revolving around the modern day Triple Crown, air quotes.
Well, it started with a title change that I said should have happened at the next pay-per-view.
We're referring to the AEW Continental Crown Championship.
Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah. First off, today's date, Tuesday, March 26th. Yeah, of our Lord. I said, yeah, of our Lord.
Yeah, of our Lord.
20 and 20, 4 for 4.
Would you like fries with that, sir?
I'm good on the starch. I'm going to decline.
Dipping sauce for your nuggets, pause.
Always dipping sauce for the nuggets. Because of the mood that I'm in.
Okay.
Whatever it has, it needs to have horseradish with it. I need an extra kick in my dipping sauce this week.
I had a hilarious joke right there, but that would probably get this episode flagged.
Hold it for later. We'll talk about it. Meanwhile, let the church say,
hey, man,
your winner, AEW Continental Crown Champion, Kazuchika Okada. And we're not subjected to having to hear the mispronunciation of Kazuchika Okada from one recently future endeavored Kevin Kelly, thank goodness.
We need a mixtape of like the biggest stars with the flattest debuts in wrestling history.
Boy.
We need to get back on
that mixtape. That might be a tournament.
This is true. I didn't want to just, you know, it's tournament season, and that means we really finna get active with these tournaments. I was like, let me throw a mixtape in there just in case.
That could be a tournament. That could also be a very labored editing game while we in real time search up certain names. We'll have the mixtape, right?
We're going to have to go back to like season 4 where we had like notes and did real research.
No, exactly. So like, we'll have the pre-show notes. We'll have the production notes, right?
Yeah.
But in real time, we go and pull up the YouTube clips of these.
Just anything to make my job more difficult, huh?
Like.
All right.
Buff Bagwell and Booker T and WWE. On the WWE version of Monday Nitro, which lasted a whole week. Like, that comes to mind. Kazuchika Okada comes to mind. Jay Lethal comes to mind. And I personally I was personally excited for Jay Lethal, but you talk about sweeping something under the rug.
I feel like you could get a hot six piece out of AEW.
Can you do it right now off the top? Can we give him an impromptu EP?
Okada, Lethal.
If Monet wasn't in Boston, Monet would have been on that list. She got, the only thing that saved her was Boston.
Saraya,
yep.
Biggest stars, flattest debuts. So that's three.
How would you rate Kaz?
Who?
Big Bill.
Oh, yeah, underwhelming. They didn't.
Was he categorized as a biggest star though in this conversation?
No, I mean, okay. He has name recognition, face value, but it's far removed from the WWE days. He had a stint in TNA, and he was really putting himself back together. So it's not quite the same. Who else?
Cass and Yoli.
Man,
that was the.
There's four. We laid this oof, out for them.
Oof.
Shout out to David Banner. Swangin' was the song that we needed the license for that man. And we did our part. We did our part, but oh my gosh. Woo. Okay, there's four. Two more out of AEW. And I know I'm underthinking this.
How did you feel about Sting's debut?
I mean, it's Sting.
Right.
Yeah, like, you can't undersell Sting because the crowd knows who that is. So yeah. Once he shows up, they're going to do the rest.
And Shivani always puts Shivani on Sting. So fact. It's Sting.
And then Sting was like right in that window of pandemic. So that's kind of, you know, that's.
Oh, there you go. Matt Hardy.
The drone trick and the
yeah,
that was rough. So that's five. I want to say Awesome Kong, but she wasn't there long enough.
I don't even remember her there. That's the bad part.
Exactly. So that might be an honorable mention. That might be a bonus cut.
That's like first.
Somebody who debuted in AEW and it was flat. FTR.
I wanted to say them because that's in the same boat as Matt Hardy. Victims of circumstance.
Okay. Victims of circumstance. Hardy's segment was just bad, but he was a victim of circumstance. They tried to get creative with the fact that they didn't have people there. And it made it even more sort of weird.
I think the crowd popped harder at the house for FTR than they did in the house simply because of who couldn't be there. We got to do some. But there's your example right there. So anyway, back to the conversation we were having.
We got five out of six.
I know there's probably 10 more, to be honest with you.
I mean, you'd have to think about the lineage of people who just came through and didn't do anything. Like Brody Lee wasn't who we expected, but it wasn't flat, I guess.
No,
but it was also during the pandemic.
And his arc was amazing.
Thanks, Cody.
And the pandemic and his untimely passing is why that got lost. There's no doubt in my mind that Brody would have been on top of the company had those things not happen.
Dark Order was never the same.
And will never be the same behind that. And that was the sad thing for them because as a potential like to get people that no one knew, quote Jeff unquote, Hardy. Homegrown town.
Captain Emote.
The Fortnite debut. Yeah, oh my. To this day, if you hear me mention stop emoting, it's because of Jeff Hardy's debut. Matt Hardy is getting his you know what handed to him.
My brother is getting jumped right now.
Getting beat. The Jeff Hardy music hits, and this fool is in the aisle.
Hey, there's an article about this, like the actual subject. I'm going to send this to you right now. Right now.
And speaking of, we got smoke later on in the show too about not about the Hardys, but involving a Hardy. I will definitely bring that up. we don't do this, but shouts out to the Sportster for this one.
I mean, bruh. They nailed this list. A couple of them you just didn't really care about.
Matt Sydal didn't care about, cause, and that was all because of, you know, the fact that how he left the E and was never the same after that.
Jay but Lethal. I mean, he was still somebody, one, who had name value, two, who fits the style of what you were trying to do at the time in AEW. Like, you could have handled him better.
Jay Lethal, we talked about that already. Miro completely forgot about. Paul White.
They end up getting Miro right after a while, but even then, when they got it right, they got it wrong.
And where is he now? Paul White. There is no reason.
Waiting on a divorce to finalize.
Unfortunately, or maybe it's fortunate. Who knows? Paul White. We didn't really care to see him. That was more of a nostalgia thing to have him next to Tony Schiavone. We didn't know what role he was going to be in. Speedy recovery too. To Paul White. Butcher and the Blade.
What's wrong with Paul White?
He had knee replacement.
Oh yeah.
We saw that picture and we were clowning and we didn't realize it was really bad.
Him and Kevin Nash, because Nash has a photo like that too before he got his leg reconstructed.
Yeah. Butcher and Blade, who had independent success and no one really knew about them in the mainstream.
Yeah, I can't count that.
Tony Nese, I mean, he was only a product of 205 Live, so like
he another one who should have probably been featured a little better, if for no other reason because he fits the style of what you were trying to do at the time. Not saying make him world heavyweight champion, not even saying make him a champion, just make him a part of what's going on to where he can be useful later.
Luther, who was more internationally known, not necessarily locally respected.
That's on the buddy system.
Absolutely. Satnam Singh.
No hype. No one knew.
Because he was a Maverick. That was it.
You see what I'm saying? I had never seen him shoot a layup.
And that was it. Dark Order, like. The concept was so dope because it was out of the wheelhouse of what seemed to be Bray Wyatt, a.k.a. Wyndham Rotunda, but also could have been out of the wheelhouse.
The early vignettes had potential.
Yeah. The website.
Had potential. That was innovative.
Couldn't even bring this one up, bro. And this is how you know this one was bad. We forgot about this one, and the reason why he showed up was to be a big name, and he did not even get the respect he deserved until his very last match. And I told you this, prisoner of the moment or not, you can go back and watch it. By far, the best match he had in AEW was against Brody King, Andrade El Idolo. Completely forgot about his debut.
Fumble-a-rooski.
Man.
But back to the conversation that sparked this this.
Y'all getting free money with this one.
Yeah, this was a whole side mission that sparked off a conversation that started before we started recording. So back to that though. So Kazuchika Okada is the new Continental Crown Champion. Am I saying that correctly?
Yep.
The title name?
Continental Crown Champion.
So, my question started from the perspective, one, why is this not happening in Dynasty? Like, why would you not take your hottest free agent or one of your top three hottest free agent signings in company history? Why would you not showcase that, him becoming a champion, at the next pay-per-view? Did it on television. So, I guess, you know, you're trying to pop a number, trying to get some type of buzz. Understand it, but I would have done it differently. But it's just me. So then the question that I asked was, does that mean he is now currently in possession of all the belts that create the Continental Crown? To which my co-host, my sahab, responded. What's up, Faulty Water? My sahab responded with, your part.
I'm trying to formulate, because I'm gonna say it the same way. I'm just trying to formulate it.
Got the headache.
Me talking, not wrestling talking. The Continental Crown Championship was 1/3 of what would be a modern day triple crown of three separate titles from, in this case, three separate organizations that would be defended independently, not as one. To which you replied,
going into the tournament, Eddie Kingston put out the edict that he would be defending his additional championships, the New Japan Strong title, as well as the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship, in conjunction with trying to win the title, making the winner of the tournament a triple crown champion. To which I took that to mean that going forward, any title defenses were triple crown title defenses. So I asked the question, is Okada a triple crown champion now, or is he just one champion? That sparked a debate between us about what is what, and how do you handle that going into the next tournament?
All right. For the record, the Continental Crown Championship was defended and was won by Kazuchika Okada. It was separated.
Do we have this documented?
Absolutely. If you go to AEW's website, Kaz Okada is listed as only the Continental Crown Champion. Eddie Kingston is still listed as the Ring of Honor World Champion and the New Japan Strong Openweight Champion.
So what was the point of saying that he was going to defend the championships throughout the tournament? He takes two losses in the tournament, only to ultimately, in the end, win the tournament and all three belts.
Let me read you this. This is from Wikipedia. Of course, it's not the end all be all cure all.
Read me my release.
This is not the end all. This is not the end all cure all be all by any stretch of the imagination. This is a fine time for us to also plug our socials. Show at BrokenPencilBC.com, BrokenPencilBC at gmail.com, at BrokenPencilBC on all things social, at BrokenPencilBC on what?
Everything.
The inaugural winner of the AEW Continental Crown Championship, Eddie Kingston, was declared the American Triple Crown Champion, also referred to as the Continental Crown, which goes with both of what we were saying earlier, upon winning the Continental Crown title, as he had already held the ROH World Championship, of Sister Promotion Ring of Honor, and the Strong Openweight Championship, a partner in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I don't know what I should do with my hands.
So what?
I don't know what I should do with my hands.
Keep them right there. Keep your hands high. This is stick up. Being part of the Triple Crown Championship, the Continental Championship is recognized by AEW, ROH, and New Japan, allowing it to be defended in all three promotions. Subsequently, the Continental Champion at the time of the next Continental Crown tournament is automatically entered into the tournament. That's all it said. Now, there are more defenses by Eddie Kingston besides this one. I'm trying to find a list of them because it was defended on Collision. Let's see here.
I mean, we can find the other title defenses, but they don't matter because he didn't lose. So you wouldn't know what's on the line. And that's my whole point. What you just read is a summary that says the Continental Crown is only the Continental Crown because it is a triple crown championship. So to defend the Continental Crown should be to defend all three championships. But you just lost it to a guy who just left one of the companies that's a part of the triple crown. He ain't going back.
So
he ain't going back.
Hold on. So if this thing ever opens up.
This is stupid. This is what this is. This is stupid.
I totally agree. The fact that the broken pencil, the pencil pushers of Broken Pencil Booking Company, Pro Wrestling Podcast Infused with Hip Hop, the fact that they get treated to bonus coverage for us, like, trying to figure out an answer to a question that should have never been a question to begin with is crazy.
We blow a whole 30-minute episode trying to figure this part out. And then there's going to be some ne'er-do-well that ends up in the comments like, no, because...
Wait, hold on. So, hold on. So, the very first Continental Crown champion, the championship defense for Eddie Kingston was decided with the winner of a four-way match that included Brian Cage, Brian Keith, Hijo del Vikingo, and the winner of that match, who was Trent Beretta. So his first Continental Crown championship defense was against Trent Beretta. Now,
that's cool.
This was a week after him winning the Continental Crown championship to begin with, which, if you and I were watching this in real time, we would be the ones to assume that it would be for all three belts, not just the one.
You made all this hype about the Triple Crown is what creates the Continental Crown. So why are we now segregating and picking and choosing which title is defended? You see how that doesn't make sense?
It doesn't make any sense at all.
We like to do things in decency and order, and above everything is logic.
Apparently,
this is illogical.
Apparently, our Broken Pencil logic is above and beyond the call of duty. It is worthy of a 20% tip.
All I'm saying is, for a nominal fee.
Oh.
Cash out me mine immediately. If you stay ready, make it, get ready.
What's crazy? I was ready. Go ahead.
For a nominal fee.
Last time. Soon to be.
A phenomenal fee. We will slice off some of this broken pencil knowledge and put it on your plate.
Dizelle will be there.
read the bottom. I am the mystery tag partner for this bag. Can I say, but you're welcome.
Is that the name of the episode? You're welcome.
No, because remember we had a name picked out. Unless you're gonna shift that to another episode.
What more can I say?
I mean, we can do your welcome.
But,
that BFY. And this is all pre-roll. We ain't even started that episode yet.
You ready for the timer?
I'm tired of talking. Yeah, I'm ready for the timer because Kano's done.
We got Gremlins. We got Kano's.
He dumped a bottle of pills in the punch bowl.
30 minutes on the clock, please. Your timer begins now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
this is what
to the show, guys.
This is what we do. We'll get back to last Monday. What we're going to talk about last Monday and this past Monday, the 25th, as well as the 18th for Monday Night Raw. First and foremost, whatever is happening backstage, I absolutely love it. It is a harken back to a greater time in WWE television. You're starting to see top tier talent, aka main eventers, A-listers, higher paid players, if you will, with an open net and a hot live microphone. Those players have included, over the past two episodes, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins,
Bing.
Drew McIntyre,
Bing.
CM Punk.
Bing. I don't have the sound effects. I do what I can.
I don't even need them for this. I'm swinging for the fences. where do we begin, Suave? In Raleigh, North Carolina, shouts out to the crib.
Raleigh.
I was in attendance with my young one,
shout
Zoe.
Shout out Small World.
shout out Zoe. We were in attendance to watch a very blistering promo from Cody Rhodes, which brought out a very irate Paul Heyman, which is amazing to see in real time, especially when he has a bargaining chip.
I'll give Cody his due. He got his Pedro Serrano on.
Yeah, he got open. He actually absolutely got open.
He fought back, which is cool. It's just the fan base. My God. But keep going. I'll tell you why I don't,
We'll get back to all this while I tell you that the wrestling action was as good, on par with the mic work that we got from those who had the open net. Fast forward.
Who knew you could get both on one show?
Who knew we can get both on one show? Who knew we can get both in two consecutive shows? Chicago reminded me of the old Rosemont Horizon. You saw that they only had two sections, upper bowl, lower bowl, that's it. Even the security said Rosemont Security on the back. They had no Titantron. What? When is the last time we've had no Titantron?
Survivor Series. Last time they were in that building.
Because it's too small for a Titantron.
No, they could have done the Titantron, but it would have cut into their ability to sell tickets. So they said, we'll go with a smaller entrance so that we can sell more tickets.
There you go.
That's business.
Lower roof means that you have to change the aesthetic. And if you want to match the crowds that have been, quote unquote, selling out, you get more people in the building who can appreciate being in those seats. Because if the seats are open, people will buy them. We saw that in Greensboro.
I mean, people pay to see stars.
Cody fired off some expletives. And
Pedro Serrano.
We also,
if you don't know, just Google it.
Marbles. We also got
you have no
marbles. I say you, Joe Boo. I do it myself. Rocky even got some off. And of course, Rocky's playing this final boss character to the hilt. So Rocky honestly believes that he has absolutely carte blanche to do things that heel Rocky should do. We've seen color. Like, people are saying last night's Monday Night Raw was one of, if not the best, top to bottom Monday Night Raws people have seen in quite possibly the last 5 or 10 years. Now,
10, I'd have to go back and kind of think about it.
10, five, is, 10 is a reach. Seems real. Yeah, 10 is a reach.
5 seems real.
5 could be very real. Here's the
that covers the entire Thunderdome era and then like 1 year prior.
Here's the issue with saying that. 52 weeks of television per year. And even though Raw has received the worst ratings it has ever received during that time frame, you can't tell me that there was not one shining gem out of each year of 52 weeks of television over those 5 years. I'm not telling you to go find out, to go watch 200 weeks plus of television to find this out. What I'm trying to tell you is to say that last night's episode was the bar simply because we saw things that we haven't seen in 20 years on television, it's a little bit unfair, even if you might be right. Just,
I mean, it's
prisoner of the moment.
It's about somewhat. It's also about creating the perfect storm. You had the content has to match the energy, and then the energy in the crowd has to match the energy in the ring and the content. So it's sometimes you'll get a great show as far as production, in-ring, and even some of the segments and vignettes, but the crowd is just dead for whatever reason because of the city they're in. Then you have a hot crowd that gets a trash show. This is one of those times lightning struck. You had a hot crowd because it's Chicago.
Man.
You have Chicago's wrestling mascot in attendance.
You have arguably the loudest arena for a WWE touring schedule.
Bing bong. And then you have what is arguably the most stacked roster you've had in 10, 15 years. Like, this roster is top heavy. So top heavy that they might need help walking to the car.
Ricochet looks like a main eventer.
Out here getting wins.
We haven't seen that in a long time. And quality, not just wins. He's defeated everybody in Judgment Day except for Damian Priest.
Did he beat a Finn?
Everybody in Judgment Day except for Damian Priest.
I didn't see the Finn match.
He's the only one that he hasn't beaten.
And then that could be foreshadowing because we do need to start lining up opponents for Damian Priest for this eventual cash in.
Which we've got a couple whether of months, be, well, 4 months, well, 3 months away from that now.
Whether it be against, you know, Kung Fu Panda, or whether he decides to, you know, spoil everybody's WrestleMania weekend on Sunday.
I'm not mad at it.
I would love it. And look, we've already said numerous times, the money with Cody Rhodes as a face is in the chase.
If the tag titles are defended on Saturday, what should I give up if I don't get a cash in on Sunday? Because if the titles are defended on Saturday, there's going to be a cash in on Sunday. Because nothing beats Drew more than psychotic Drew. And that will send him over the edge because Damian Priest's face turn is imminent.
Here's part of the thing for that.
Part of the thing.
Here's the thing. You know for a fact that the World Heavyweight Championship match as well as the Universal Undisputed Championship matches are both on Sunday.
Yep.
So we know the tag match is the main event of night one regardless.
Do we?
Why wouldn't it be? That has the most suspense, the most drama, the biggest ramifications for the next night. And it's The Rock and Roman Reigns versus your two biggest.
Oh no! I'm sorry. I thought so. When you mentioned tag match, I thought you were talking about tag title match. No, absolutely. You're right. Go ahead. You're right. That's established. No. Yes.
That might open the show.
And Philadelphia had better. A 16 tag team ladder match?
That feels like first. That really does feel like first match of the night, of night one. Because, I mean, it'll get the ball rolling.
Everybody engaged. That is a main event. And let's think about the 25. 25 was a big one. It kicked off with a ladder match.
Ladder matches tend to go on first. It went on first at 32.
And that was, man, that was a good one.
And I think 17 taught them, like, hey, you need to start putting this stuff like this needs to go on earlier because you're going to mess around and either burn the crowd out or steal the show.
And I would highly recommend
time to digest that.
I would highly recommend whatever AJ does, put it on after the ladder match. Not because AJ is boring, because you'll get quality and you can get a calm down.
I agree on that point. Plus, I'm just not excited for this particular match. This feud hasn't. Everybody knows who watches this show and they just ask me in general. I had LA Knight penciled in versus Logan Paul. I felt like that was the best use of both talent.
We both smelled it. We smelled it from SummerSlam. We smelled it.
But you see how fickle and finicky fickle these people are online? I didn't see any campaign about LA Knight being relegated to a different match because you wanted him as world champion 2 months before that.
He didn't get it, and people forgot he was even in a world championship match that fast.
Listen, is what I'm saying.
But anyway, back on to this whole Raw thing. So between the end of the show, between Cody's antics, between CM Punk all but wanting to take off his arm brace, what is this what we can expect equal to or greater than when we get to Netflix?
I certainly hope so.
Are we going to get more elevated versions of this in that 3-month contract gap that is? Will that be a handshake agreement that we'll do better or we'll do good? Or will they be in no man's land and basically be playing with house money for 3 months?
I'm still very interested to see how that gap is going to be handled. Like,
we can guarantee it won't be a stopgap. We can guarantee that.
We should be able to do that. But we don't know how everybody feels with this imminent split coming. Like, yes, SmackDown is coming to USA, Raw is going to Netflix, and then there's a 3-month gap where you need something. I mean, do we go live to Peacock? Or, I mean, like, well, yeah,
can you go live to Peacock? Because USA is owned by Comcast, which owns Peacock.
And you're already getting delayed episodes of Raw anyway, so a lot of things have to be ironed out. Now, I could see them doing that because Peacock experimented with live sports with, you know, during the NFL playoffs. So I could see a situation where people are like, you get that demographic of people who watch wrestling on Monday night and say, look, you can't watch it on USA, but for the low, low price of bing, bop, bam, you can come watch it here live on Peacock. I could absolutely see that happening. What I am going to say is, last night's episode has me more excited for the jump to Netflix than any type of press release they could have done. Because now I'm seeing them walk the line.
Remember the TNA pay-per-view era? When weekly television shows were like $3 a piece and you got 3 hours of quality television? They had far less fan base with that, but it was a great upstart. Can you imagine a $1 charge to watch Monday Night Raw for 3 months? Per week?
I'm good because Hulu will have it the next night. I'm good. Hulu will have a condensed version, but yeah, I'm not
paying. Yeah, I mean, because for years you watched the Hulu version.
I'm not doing a... Yeah, you feel me? Like, I have no issues going back to the trenches, homeboy. I can get it out the mud. I have no problem going back to the trenches. They know me over there.
Man, yeah, we're definitely looking forward to what that has to offer and what can come from it simply from what we've seen. What I will say is this, though. If these last 2 weeks, because the go-home show is guaranteed, you can't bomb a go-home show when you've had this kind of energy the last 2 weeks, and no one expected this out of what we got out of Raleigh, especially with the Nia Jax, Becky Lynch match. In fact, I'm going to go out. Uh-oh. Well, we're about to mess up the house money over here. Nia Jax versus Becky Lynch. They tore the house down.
Do not fumble the bag.
They tore the house down with that one.
Can we get some love for Nia Jax in this run and how improved and how focused she's been?
Man, I've got some naysayers in this one. And I'm going to say that those naysayers are alone because...
Ne'er-do-wells.
Man, there's great stuff there. There is absolutely great stuff there, man. Nia's doing some of her best work, if not her best work.
You gotta shine a light on improvement when it happens. Like, you just gotta celebrate those who are winning.
Let's speaking of Philadelphia, before we go into next week. Oh, now what I was gonna say was
Philadelphia.
Next week's Monday Night Raw, it better be a barn burner, because if the energy from Raleigh, if the energy from Chicago translate to next week's Monday Night Raw, the Raw after Mania could possibly be the best one we've seen since New Orleans.
Over under 50% that the go home show ends with a massive brawl.
Oh, I'm going to say over 50%.
Because you still have Friday. Or is there going to be a show at all Friday? Is just or is it just going to be Hall of Fame?
No, I think there's still going to be. I think it's going to be a very light show. I think if there's the Andre, we'll probably get the Andre on Friday night. Honestly, I think they should forego a show on Friday because of how much wrestling we're going to be seeing on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's just my take.
I kind of felt like Friday could exclusively be a Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
I hope so, especially with the as stacked as the crowd is. You can't put that many Hall of Famers in one hour. I don't think that's possible. And let me run through the GCW Bloodsport card for this year.
Okay.
Nick Nemeth versus Speedball Mike Bailey. Akira versus Matt Mikowski. Eric Hammer versus Lou Nixon. Not familiar with either one of those. Minoru Suzuki versus Royce Isaacs.
Ooh.
Josh Barnett versus Johnny Bloodsport. You know who Johnny Bloodsport is.
Who is Johnny Bloodsport?
Johnny everything. Johnny TV, Johnny Nitro, John Morrison.
Johnny. Okay. I got it. Cool. That guy's just a gift that keeps on giving.
Taki Nomura versus Fuminori Abe.
Okay.
Axel Tischer versus Timothy Thatcher.
Okay.
And the most interesting match on this card.
That's somebody who needs a call and a check from somebody.
Particularly on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Masha Slamovich from TNA. Versus Shayna Baszler from WWE at GCW Bloodsport. I will say
this. Is that like the forbidden window?
after
the forbidden crawl space?
After the weekend house show clip that we saw, including from Nia Jax and Rhea Ripley, I would dare say that window is, she's a peeping Tom.
Say, man.
Peeping Tabitha.
House shows is where you get your best entertainment. We've always known this, but they are going above and beyond during these house shows to like really give you a different type of entertainment.
Yeah. The Josh Barnett's Bloodsport has been put on. This year will be the 10th one that he's done. And even last year, Josh Barnett himself was defeated by Timothy Thatcher, which that is a Bloodsport match if there ever was one. But this is the first time you've actually had a contracted WWE talent involved in Bloodsport. And I'm not for sure on this or not, but I think this is the first time that this is actually a GCW event versus being an MLW event. I could be wrong. I don't know, but...
It's a lot of money getting passed around.
A lot of money getting passed around, and I'm here for it. And, you know, maybe this is the start of better things to come. But this also solidifies WWE's stance with TKO, with TKO wanting WWE's product to be more presentable and as realistic. And this is also for lack of better terminology, a non-televised redemption story for how Shayna beat Ronda Rousey and retired Ronda Rousey from professional wrestling. I digress.
Ronda been out here cooking up a whole lot of slander. As a side note, since you brought up Ronda Rousey, she has been out here chefing up some of the most gourmet slander known to man.
We got to chop it up about that. I guess we'll add some next time. We'll chop it up about that next week. Dark Side of the Ring, Season 5. So far, we've had Terry Gordy. We've had...
Yes.
Mark Bagwell. And then who do we have last week?
No,
last week was Gordy. Oh, and then the first one was John Tenta.
Yes.
So since you've caught up and I'm already there with you, what's your take? Because tonight's episode is Brutus Beefcake, correct?
I think so.
Based on the advertising, I want to say it's a Beefcake. I could be wrong, but we're going to talk about that next week, too.
It actually should be on right now while you're playing.
Yeah. I mean, but don't worry. It's on the DVR. As soon as we done, I'm tuned in. What's your take so far? Because I had an interest. It wasn't a warm take on the Bagwell episode.
I would say I've enjoyed it because I enjoyed just the franchise period. My favorite episode thus far is the Terry Gordy because I'm a fan of that type of professional wrestling.
Man.
Hearing about his time in Japan, especially when this is pre-internet. So hearing about his time in Japan, seeing that footage is super interesting. Like, you would only get that in magazines or if you were a tape trader. Like, the Miracle Violence connection. What? First of all, who named this team and what were they smoking when they did it?
Considering their bloody UWF history, and to live that in real time, to see that the most bitter of enemies became one of the greatest tag teams to ever grace Japan, I think that was the miracle. The violence.
Okay, there you go.
The violence. Go back to what I just said.
Tie it together. Why don't you? I hated them so much in 92 because they beat the Steiners, and the Steiners, hey, everybody knows, my favorite tag team of all time.
I was seeing them on American TV together on the same side of the ring. Like, aside from them beating the Steiners, every time I saw them in WCW, I just thought, how did they make this possible? I saw them kill each other in UWF.
And see, I've never seen the UWF stuff.
Go watch it on. Matter of fact, I will link you to watch it on YouTube. Boy, man, it is amazing work.
Yeah, so that was my favorite. Close second. I mean, there's only three episodes. Close second would be Buff Bagwell. But tell the people, the viewers and the listeners, about your hot take.
It was warm take
when you saw it.
It was a warm take.
At the time, it had steam on it. It was a hot take. It's since cooled off, but yeah, come on with it.
Prisoner of the moment. Buff Bagwell's episode could arguably be one of, if not the best, episode of Dark Side of the Ring for a number of reasons.
I ran off a hot 10 that I was like, I'll rank all of these above that.
Oh, coming soon. The reason for that being, similar to the Terry Gordy episode, we got a lot more of what we didn't know from Buff Bagwell than we had from anybody else. There were layers to the stuff that we didn't know. If that episode could be any better, it would have been that Judy Bagwell were here to actually do to be an interview, but unfortunately she's gone on. And but man, Buff had that in him.
Pause. And you told me, you set the bar high by saying that before I had watched the episode. So I'm like, all right, let me see. What I took away from that episode is that Marcus Alexander Bagwell, aka Buff Bagwell, is the real life Ricky Bobby. His father,
his daddy was a drag racer.
His father is Reese Bobby. You understand me? Applebee's has rats. So that was what I took away from the episode. Like, it was entertaining, it was good, and I did shoot off a list of about 10 episodes I would have ranked higher, but it was a good one nonetheless. There's only been a few episodes where I've been like, man, this ain't it. Only a few.
Yeah, there's a couple that I can go back on, and depending on my mood of the day, could rank higher.
Right.
Jack's
still number one.
Jack needs a second episode. I'm sure that there is more that Jack talked about that they held in the back pocket. And I know that there's more because there's extra footage that we haven't seen on TV.
So we've heard about from their podcast series, which, you know, free plug, sent us something, that there is additional conversations that were had. There's extra stuff that didn't make the final cut. Anybody who's ever been involved with the editing process of anything knows that there's just as good of an episode on the floor as there is in the machine.
The
cutting room floor. Like, there is just as good of an episode on the cutting room floor that would actually get seen by the public. So I wouldn't doubt that there's enough for an additional episode. I hope that, you know, they hear this and say, you know what? might be a good idea.
Go back and check the archives. Our interview was right before the episode aired worldwide, so.
Know what I'm saying?
Jack. Jack,
what up?
The plane ride from hell.
Yes.
A collision in Korea.
See,
dark.
You naming all the put on my list.
Dark.
All the ones I seen.
And there's a whole lot of like hair pulling out WTFs.
Brawl for all.
Brawl for all. The greatest miss ever.
I'm telling you. I'm just saying.
Man. Oh man. But yeah. But Buff is still up there. Like you could put Buff in the ring with those, and Buff could hold his own. Is all I'm saying. But there's more to come this season. So stay tuned. When we'll recap him when the season's over too. We haven't talked about WrestleMania 9 yet. And
we have not.
We only have 3 minutes left in this episode, so I'm not going to put too much on it. But what I will do is for our WrestleMania week, shouts out Matthew Ingram, we will review WrestleMania 9, and we will go with another one. Pick a number between, let's see here, number picker.
We're all about innovative technology here at BPBC.
All right, 1 through 39, and we're going to randomize, exclude 37, exclude 9, and we will go.
Nothing's wrong with your speakers. That's on our end. Pause.
31.
Can we spin again?
All right. 31 was fire, though. 31 was absolute fire.
It was, but that's too recent.
Deep cut. Number one. Why not?
Oh, my God. Bruh, do you know how long it's going to take me to sit through one?
It's going to be a power walk, but it's going to be a walk.
Hey, man.
Hey, so it's cool.
As a kid, it was the greatest thing ever, but as a full-grown adult, that's going to be...
I was really hoping for two when they did the three locations.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir.
Oh, boy, that was interesting. Sir. All right, we got a minute left.
We do?
Raleigh, North Carolina, Monday Night Raw, March 18th. I was there in the 200 section out of nowhere. In between hour two and hour three, boom, Matthew Hardy shows up. And he's just kicking it. He's chilling. It goes from him kicking it and chilling to having a full-blown free photo shoot for anybody who's willing to get up and spend time with him. And
he only did a meet and greet in the upper deck.
A whole meet and greet. I took a picture of him with the delete pose and sent it straight to Suave and had to tell my daughter who Matt Hardy was and what his significance was to the industry. Suave takes it.
Cooking a little bit.
Cooked a little bit, froze it up, and what happens after you lay it up?
So we don't put this watermark on here to show where this photo comes from. Treated it a little bit so that, you know,
hopefully
some of the color popped on it.
All right, now we are in overtime. Go ahead.
So cooked the photo, put the watermarks on it, made it pretty, put it out on our official Twitter, of course, at Broken Pencil BC, as it is on every social network that we're on
everything.
So post it, hashtag, you know, Hardys, you know how to do it, hashtag, and try and get something seen. WWE Raw,
Monday Night Raw, North Carolina, yeah, you know
what I'm saying, they're at home, starts to get a little traction. A minute after it was posted, someone decided to take said photo, crop it so that our watermark was removed, and then posted it as though it was their own content.
What's wild is, you know how we found out? Founder of the show, co-founder of the show, JBL, my son.
Gang.
He happened to search because I sent him the picture and he didn't believe it. And he said, somebody's in the same section of you as you, because this is the same picture you sent me. To which I replied, that's my picture.
And I can confirm it because I color treated it.
The only thing separating my timestamp from his is the fact that his is an hour earlier. Take a wild guess why that's the case.
Because you're on Eastern
time. Because I'm on Eastern Standard Time. Word to Pimp C.
I went back and verified, you know, in Twitter, it's like there's a minute or so difference. But just, that's lame. Like, for someone who has the level of followers that this
ne'er-do-well,
this ne'er-do-well has for you, but then I know this because we've been in the entertainment industry in one way or another for the last, what, two and a half, maybe three decades?
Better than that, Suave, you have known me for at least at this point 15 years.
At least.
We met on the stage in 2008. They've been grooving ever since.
Meaning we do this in real life.
One thing you have never seen me or heard me do to a fault is lie to you.
One thing you've never seen me do is lie or steal anybody else's content. I'm going to give you your flowers if I borrow something from you. If anytime, you can go check all our socials. Anytime we retweet or share something, we're doing it from the originator so that they also get what they need to get what they need. Because everybody's out here trying to make a buck or make a name for themselves based on whatever content it is they're reproducing. I mean, like, how hard is it to give credit? How hard is it to acknowledge daily acknowledgement? How hard is it to acknowledge someone else's work that made it possible for you to do what you're doing?
Like,
you sampled the photo and didn't get clearance, fam. And that's all we asked for. Like,
what would it have cost to just you didn't even have to say our name. You didn't have to add us. But don't go so far as to chop off our brand. How dare you?
Man, that was,
that's that low was class.
Ne'er-do-well, low class, low brow, absolute garbage.
And I'm trying to see the virility of this because the virility was it's absolutely insane. And it shows you the power of people who pander, people who troll, people who do things the way.
There is a second photo from in your section.
Because our section was live.
Yes, the section was live.
I didn't have the best seats in the house. Let me tell you, I had the best seats in the house. I wasn't on the floor, but I guarantee you, the section I was in, there was nothing better in that arena.
Oh, the vantage point was crazy.
Shout to PNC Arena.
When you see this second photo, the second gunman on the grassy knoll, you can tell that there's a different angle. Plus, the color, it's not color treated.
325,000 impressions of this photo.
You see what I'm saying?
Taken from here, cooked up by the gang. Man, we outside and up in this simultaneously.
You stole out the collection plate.
You stole out. You can never.
You stole out a collection plate on Easter Sunday.
You can't even return it. You can't even return
it. It's just
because it's on site.
It's lame. It's just like, but this is the type of stuff. It's a peek behind the curtain. This is some of the stuff that we deal with, being that we're walking this road in an organic fashion. We're not buying stuff that don't coincide with us being organic.
There are real people in this industry that we know and love that really rock with us. Yep. Dead or alive. Literally dead or alive.
Facts. Factuals.
There are people who are wanting us to win, that are doing everything they can to help us win. And we're going to win. We still here. People in our space don't last as long as we have. We're walking into, to as of today, walking into year number 7 of two African Americans in a hip hop space doing a pro wrestling podcast well into our 40s. This don't happen if it ain't successful.
It's so beyond lame. Like, it really is. Like, because the individual has all these different credits in their bio. You know, you've been featured here, 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 and here. And immediately that just makes me think, how many other people have you stole from and stepped on while doing that?
He's a chop shop that sells Bentleys on the side.
Look, just do better, be better. If you're one of the people who's operating like this, may your thumbs fall off. If you don't support this type of behavior, call it out. See something, say something. See, this is when that type of jargon and rhetoric actually applies. Don't just let people steal. That's all it took was, you didn't even have to at us. Just leave the watermark. Then they would have known where you got it from.
You still get the same momentum.
Facts. You have higher Twitter engagement, a higher follower count. Doesn't change anything for you. However, for some people like us who are currently, you know, dealing with the organic ceiling, which we know, and let me be completely transparent, we know that the organic ceiling exists. Once you hit the organic ceiling, then you have to start investing into the other side of the business. But just
let me pinpoint this, because for one, you can't be in the central time zone and post this picture that I posted. And the reason I'm telling you this is, like, just for perspective, I'm in seat 10. This man is in my aisle holding seat 1. I am less than 6 feet away from this man. My wingspan is bigger than the distance between me and him. Why wouldn't I take this picture? I'd be a fool not to, considering he's still technically under contract to a competitor. This is news. This is news. This is a hit piece. And all you had to do was play the game fair. BFY.
BFY.
Show at BrokenPistolBC.com, BrokenPistolBC at gmail.com, at BrokenPistolBC on all things social, at BrokenPistolBC on what?
Everything.
Suave, take him to the house.
W-Y-B-A.
P-A-F-E. Boy, season 1 on line 1 right now.
Like, rate, subscribe, share, tell a friend, tell that friend to tell a friend, and then tell that friend again. Pencil pushes. Heads up. Pencils down.
Don't edit the photo and happy birthday, Suave. Actually, not Suave. Wait a minute. iMock just got that much cooler. Didn't even realize that this show's birthday is also an iMock. Man,
look,
we out of here, man. Wow. Take that home with you.
y'all got gift bags in the front.
Y'all got an OG episode from us to end iMock for free? Man, we gone.
All the time, God is good.
All the time.